Father God, we come before you this morning and we thank you so much, Lord, because Lord, we believe that you are a God that's not just in our imagination. We believe that you are a God who is real. Lord Jesus Christ, you actually came and lived among us. You died. But Lord, we also believe that you rose again from the dead. And so Lord, when we cry out to you, when we say our prayers, when we sing our songs to you, Lord, we know that you hear it all. And so God, we thank you that you are such a great God. And I thank you, dear Lord, that so many of your people, so many churches all around the world will be waking up on this day, on this Resurrection Sunday, to celebrate the fact that you are alive. And I pray, God, that you would be working through those churches. Lord, I pray that there would be celebration and joy. And Lord, that as they proclaim your truth, as they talk about how Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, Lord, that many others would come to believe, that many others would come to know that you are God. And I pray also, Lord, for those churches that are not able to meet. Lord, there are some churches that are facing difficult circumstances. Lord, we lift them up to you and we pray that you would have mercy on them. And God, we ask that even if they're not able to meet, even in their sorrow and difficulty and pain, Lord, as they're not able to meet, Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on them and that you would allow them to still know that you are a God who is alive, who is able to see their pain and their struggle. I pray, God, that you'd be working in those Christians, in those churches, Lord, that you would allow them to know that you are the God that's making all things new, that you are the God that conquered sin and death. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bring hope into their hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that today would be a day of joy, of celebration. And Lord, for some of us that are going through such difficult circumstances, Lord, may today be a day that we do have hope in you, that we would be reminded of the hope that we have in you. Lord, as we look to your word now, I pray that we would be celebrating as we look to your word, as you teach us by your truth, Lord, that we would be celebrating in our hearts, in our minds, with our voices, with our bodies. Lord, may you cause us to celebrate the fact that because of what Jesus Christ did, how he died and rose again, Lord, that we do have freedom and fulfillment in you. And so God, teach us through your word now. I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been going through a series called How to Have a Relationship with God, Part 2. And we've been talking about how do we respond to God? And what do we think about when we think about having a relationship with God? We talked about things like we want to respond by loving God with everything that we are, with our heart and soul and strength. We want to love God with everything, with all of our resources. We want to love God with everything. We also talked about how even though sometimes we may think that we chose God, but actually it was God that chose us. Out of his love for us, he decided to choose who he will love. And it's not by any kind of thing that we have done, but it's all because of what God has done. He chose us. There are times, we talked about how there are times that God does bless us and our hearts are full and we feel like things are going great. But then even then, there's a temptation to turn away from God and how we need to continue to turn back to God, not to be stubborn in our ways, we talked about grumpy old men, right, on that day, not to be stubborn, but to continue to turn back to the Lord. And we need to practice that, whether you're old or young or whatever age you are, to continue to turn back to the Lord. We talked about also how when we pray, we want to continue to remember God's promises and hold on to those promises and pray those promises to the Lord. We also talked about how we want to continue to live out the promises and live out the covenant, live out this relationship with God. And lastly, last week, we talked about how, you know, in the end, there are these two options that we have. Either we're going to face blessings or we're going to face curses. If we follow God's ways, if we follow him, there will be blessings, But if we turn against God, there will be these curses. And we talked about how Jesus Christ was willing to take all the curses upon himself so that when we put our trust in Jesus, all the blessings will come to us. Today is the last day that we're going to be spending time in this particular series. We will continue to study in the book of Deuteronomy, but today we're going to end this series in talking about our relationship with God. And the last title of this sermon series is Expanding the Covenant. We're going to talk about this idea a little bit, but before we do, let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. If you have your Bibles, it'd be great if you could turn to it so that you can continue to reference the passage for today. If you have one of these Bibles in front of you, we're looking at page 973. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 10 all the way to verse 14. And once again, if you have one of these Bibles in front of you, we're on page 973. This is the reading of God's word. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Amen. All right, this question might sound a little bit strange, but I want to ask it. How do you know if you're cursed? Now, the Bible uses this word cursed, but I want to talk about it in maybe some other ways. You know, some people, they talk about black magic. Some people believe in these other religions where there are curses, right? How do you know if you're cursed? Now, some of you guys might not necessarily think of your life in these terms, like being cursed or being blessed. But some of us, we might use other terms, like how do you know if you're cursed? Some of you guys might use different terms, and some of you guys might say, I'm just unlucky. Right? How many of you guys may have said something like that? I'm just unlucky. Or maybe some of you might say something like, it's not me per se, but it's because something or someone out there, or maybe some God or something out there does not want me to do well. So it's because of that thing or that someone. And you're blaming something. You're blaming someone. Others of you might think more in natural terms. Something like, well, you know, my life is this way because my parents were bad parents. Or some of you guys might think, my life is this way just because I've just had a tough life in my past. And so because of my tough life, I mean, that's just how I am today. And this is the type of life I live, and these are the results that happen. I can't help it. Some of you guys just might say, life just sucks. What can you do about it? No matter what you experience, no matter what you label it, it's the same type of experience that ancient people went through. But a lot of times what the ancient people called that was that they were cursed somehow. And more specifically, cursed by God. And because we are cursed, because we experience all these things that happen in our lives, what ends up happening is that instead of expanding the kingdom of blessing, instead of spreading what is good to other people, what ends up happening all around the world is that we expand the kingdom of the curse. What we end up doing is that because we experience things that ancient people would call curses, we experience bad things happening in our lives, what ends up happening as a result is that we also respond by spreading negativity. That's how we might call it today, right? But what we do is we spread the effects of the curse. And it affects our lives. It affects our families. It affects our work. It affects our futures. And so the major question for today is, how do we break free from this curse? Is there any way to live a life that is even more freeing or even more fulfilling than what we're experiencing today? Is there any way to spread blessing rather than curses? The Bible tells us that there is. And the way that we're able to find even more freedom and even more fulfillment in this life is through trusting in Jesus. And so how do you have a relationship with God? Well, the basic answer is trust in Jesus. Oh, I forgot to show this picture. It's a picture of the spreading of a curse. All right, I know this is about coronavirus and it's spreading all around the world. But the idea is that, you know, whether it be things like diseases, whether it be things like violence, whether it be things like hatred or unforgiveness, these are all effects of the curse. And when we are cursed, we continue to spread this curse all around the world. So how do we deal with this? The answer is trust in Jesus. How do we get to a place where we could start expanding the kingdom of blessing? How do we get to a point where we start spreading what is good? How do we start to live a life that's more fulfilling and a life that is more freeing? We need to trust in Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about trusting Jesus about, number one, the facts, number two, freedom, and number three, fulfillment. Trust Jesus about the facts, trust him about freedom, and trust him about fulfillment. So let's talk about trusting Jesus about the facts. What are the facts? In our passage today, it starts off in this way. It says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Okay, as we just glance at our passage from verses 10 to 14, there are quotes from four different passages. There are quotes. Even in here, we see our first quote. And from this first quote, what we're going to find are two facts. Trust Jesus about the facts, right? We're going to find two facts. And the first fact is that there is a law of God that exists. There is a law of God. There is such a thing as right and wrong. And the second fact that we're going to talk about is that anyone that doesn't live according to God's law is cursed. Let's talk about this first fact. The first fact is that there is a law of God that exists. There is such a thing as right from wrong. It's because God has established what is right from wrong. Now, there's a bunch of people these days that might say, well, your wrong may not be what's considered wrong to me. And your right may not be considered what's right to me. And so your idea of morality may be different from my idea of morality. Your idea of what's good and bad might be different from my idea of what's good and bad. What if nothing is wrong? What if everyone just has their own opinion, but a person comes along and says killing is okay? Whereas other people say, no, killing is wrong. And some people say rape is wrong, but other people say, no, I think rape is okay. If we live in a world, and our world is basically at that point where you have people saying, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. Don't bother me about your truth. Well, if there's no such thing as truth, then nothing might be wrong. But the fact is, and I'm sure that each and every one of you, whether you are Christian or not, each and every one of you will have a side of you that says, no, that doesn't feel quite right. I know what scholars say, how, you know, there's people have their own realities. And I know that even I've said this, you know, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe. But deep in your heart, there's this feeling that no, there is such a thing as right from wrong. And we know this because when you do the thing that other people say is wrong, you might not think is wrong. But wait till someone does something against you that you think is wrong. Then you begin to say, there is such a thing as right from wrong. Right? If you yell at someone, you know, there's all these reasons why I yelled. If I was just having a bad day, I'm sorry. You know, that's not me. And it's not that bad because, you know, everyone yells. But what if someone yelled at you? How can that person yell at me? Who does that person think that person is? And we start saying all these things to say, no, there is such a thing from right and wrong. And I want justice. What if someone killed your relative? What if someone raped your relative or you? There's this thing that bubbles up inside of us that tells us there is such a thing that exists as right from wrong. And this feeling exists in all humankind. And the reason why it exists is because God created each and every one of us in a way so that we have some clue. We do have a clue of what is considered right from wrong. But there are times that we choose to ignore what God has told us is right and what God has told us is wrong. And so we begin to make excuses for ourselves. The fact is, there is a right and wrong that exists. We were looking at Galatians chapter 3, and it quotes from Deuteronomy, actually. And it says this in Deuteronomy: cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, amen. The second fact is that because there is a right from wrong, if you go against what is right and you do what is wrong, then you are considered cursed. You are considered cursed. And you know what? It's not just about just trying to be good. In fact, this is a quote that I found from one of the commentaries, from the Holman commentary. And what it said was, God is not looking for people that are good. God is looking for people that are perfect. Here's the reason why. In James it says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. God is not looking for good people that are just almost there, that are trying to be good in your own little way. That's not what God is looking for. God is looking for people to be perfect. If you are not perfect, then you are cursed. This is also what it says in Jeremiah. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is basically saying that you are cursed, not just if you're not perfect, but you are cursed if you choose to trust in yourself, in your own strength, rather than turning to the Lord. Let me say it a little bit differently. You are cursed if you do not believe that God exists. You are cursed if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. You are cursed because you're trusting in some other thing rather than trusting in the Lord. Now, like I said, I don't want to just call the unbelievers cursed. It's anyone that's not perfect that is cursed. And that includes every single one of us. Now, this goes against what the world teaches us today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a bunch of very inspirational pictures, because that's what the world does today. And what the world does is that they tell you that you need to believe in yourself. You just need to try hard and things will work out. Just stick to your diet. Make sure you do your exercises. Eat your vitamins, right? Just make sure that you work hard in school and you'll be successful. Just make sure that you're going to the gym and you're working out. It'll make you feel better. You just need to believe in yourself. You have all the good that exists in you. You're not cursed. Run away from all those places that are cursed, because you are blessed. Believe in yourself. This is the message that the world gives. It actually goes contrary to what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that we live in a world of sin. We live in a world that's cursed. This is a picture from the war that's going on in Ukraine right now. And those people that are trying to give the message that you just need to believe in yourself, they look at pictures like this, and there are other more graphic pictures that are out there, and they think, oh my goodness, what happened to humanity? We're good, aren't we? How can people get to the point of fighting and doing the things that they're doing in Ukraine? For Christians, we say, it's obvious. We live in a world that's cursed. We live in a world that's full of sin and death. That's the kind of world that we live in. You could try to believe in yourself all you want, but you're going to find yourself falling into sin over and over. You're going to find yourself failing over and over. Some people are a little bit more stubborn than others. Some people can believe in themselves for a little bit longer. But at some point, you're going to be disappointed, either in yourself or in someone else. Because we live in a world that's cursed, and we live in a world where the curse is being spread by everyone in this world. So even if you try to escape, other people are going to continue to spread the curse around the world, and you're going to feel the effects of the curse either from yourself or from other people. That's the kind of world that we live in. These are the facts. And so how do we escape this curse? Well, again, trust Jesus about the facts that a law does exist, that we do need to live according to God's law, but that no one is able to, and that all of us are cursed. And so how do we become free from this curse? Trust Jesus about the freedom that only he can bring. Let's look at the next verse in our passage today. It says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. Right? Basically, what it's saying is that if you try to do what the law says, you're going to fail. You're going to find yourself cursed. No one is justified. No one is right. No one is perfect before God by trying to keep the law. For the righteous, rather, those that are right, will live by faith. It's a quote from this passage, Habakkuk 2:4. And this passage says, behold, his soul is puffed up. All those people that think they could just live on their own, trying to do what's right and good for themselves or for other people or for the world, but they're relying on themselves. All these people, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him. But again, but the righteous shall live by faith. Let's talk about this word faith. Faith is not just about a religion, having a faith. That's not what it's about. The word faith in the Bible is actually used where you can also exchange the word for the word using the word trust. Trusting in Jesus. The righteous will live by trusting in Jesus Christ. Now, how is this different from following the law? How is this different from following the law? In Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, from our passage today, it says this. Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Okay, what is this saying here? It might sound a little confusing, but what it's saying is that if you try to live by the law, then by the law you will live. But if you live by faith, then you will live by faith. That's basically what it's saying. And so anyone that tries to live their lives by doing what's right, you will be judged according to whether you did it perfectly or not. But there's another option, and that's to live by faith. But let's talk about this idea about trying to do what's right, trying to do what's good. I'll make a blanket statement right now, okay? And usually blanket statements, general statements are not good. But let me make this blanket statement. And if you disagree with me, please come and talk to me afterwards. I would love to have a discussion with you. Here's the blanket statement. All other religions in this world, all other philosophies that exist in this world, all other ways of thinking, even the atheist way of thinking, will all tell you, you must do something to get some kind of benefit. Let me say it again. All other religions in this world, all other philosophies, all other ways of thinking, even the atheist way of thinking, will say, you must do something to get something that will benefit you. Christianity is different. Christianity doesn't say you must do something. Christianity says you just need to trust Jesus. A little bit different way of saying it, that what Christianity says is you don't have to do anything because Jesus did everything for you. Let's talk about what the world says. Let's talk about all the different religions and all the different philosophies and the ways that people think. Okay? And I'm going to focus a little bit more on how maybe atheists or agnostics usually talk and think, but all other religions also talk in this kind of way. Okay, so first of all, you have to believe in yourself. Otherwise, how do you know that you're able to live up to what you're supposed to do? So you have to be a good student in order to have a successful future. Here's another very inspirational picture. You know, you're going to conquer the impossible, and you're going to break away the I am part because you're going to say, I am possible, right? Another very inspirational idea. And so some people say you have to work out. Work out, go to the gym so that you can be happy and confident. This is the way that you can become confident. Or some people say, you know what? What you have to do is happy wife, happy life, right? And I didn't know. I was reviewing my sermon this morning, and I discovered that this person is the same picture as the person in this picture. If you just want to be inspiring, just go out somewhere and just stand like this, right? Happy wife, happy life. You have to make your wife happy and appreciate you, and you will have a blessed life after that, right? Or dream big, work hard, have a grand picture of what your future is going to look like in retirement, maybe a big house, or maybe it doesn't even have to be a big house, just big enough so that you could be content. So right now what you need to do is you need to start investing. Invest in the right things and you will have a comfortable future. You see, there are all these promises that the world gives saying that you just need to do this, you just need to do that, and you're going to have a comfortable life, you're going to have a blessed life, you're going to be able to have a secure life, you're going to be in control of your life. And they tell you all these promises. But what if something like this happens? Or a natural disaster? The world tells us, believe in your dreams. Do what your heart tells you. Ignore the ideas of right from wrong. Just live for yourself. And somehow you will be blessed. But these are all lies. Because no matter how much you try to do, you'll always find yourself lacking in some way. But that's the message of the world. Do, do, do. And what it causes is just so much pressure. And you hear parents say you need to do, do, do. And you hear society saying do, do, do. And you hear your schools. You hear the internet. You see Facebook and Twitter and all the Instagrams and all the other social medias. They're saying do, do, do. 5 ways to have a happier life. 10 ways to whatever, whatever. And they tell you to do all these things. Are you able to find that lasting freedom, fulfilling life? Even if you make $1 billion, you'll still find yourself unhappy. We hear so many examples of that. What's the answer? What does Christianity say? We say trust in Jesus Christ because Jesus did everything for us. This is what it says in our passage today in verse 13. Christ redeemed us. He bought us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus Christ, He died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross and took the curse upon himself so that we can be blessed. But not only did he die, he also rose again from the dead. He really rose again from the dead. There was an actual person that lived about 2,000 years ago claiming to be God. We believe that the Bible tells us that Jesus is God. He died. He actually died. Jesus Christ actually died. And he rose again on the third day. What do we trust Jesus about? We want to trust Jesus about the facts that there really is a right and wrong that was established by God, and it requires perfection. But also that we are cursed because we're not able to live up to that perfection. But we also want to trust Jesus about the freedom that we have, that Jesus was the only one who did everything right. He did live a perfect life. Jesus was the only one that actually followed God's law and did everything right. And yet, Jesus became a curse for us. And because Jesus became a curse for us, we're able to be freed from that curse. So we are able to escape the effects of the curse, not by doing something, not by working out, not by trying to study your best, not by trying to work your hardest, not by trying to be obedient to your parents or trying to be helpful to other people or trying to be a good citizen of society. That's not how we affect, how we escape the effects of the curse. It's not through education. It's not by establishing good laws. That's not how we escape the effects of the curse. We escape the effects of the curse by trusting what Jesus did for us. And because Jesus became the curse for us and wiped away our sins, you know what the effect is? For us that trust in Jesus about these things, we don't have to hold on to our guilt. We don't have to hold on to our shame. And actually, we can start to experience freedom. It was my sin that held Jesus on the cross. Not by my power, but by Jesus' own power, he was willing to continue to hang on the cross to the point of death, being the curse for us, becoming a curse for us. And it freed us. It freed us. Because in the past, what we tried to do was we try to find success in this life through our own efforts, by trying our best. But we try to find some way to receive acceptance by trying to please other people. Or we try to be in control of our lives by doing this or that, by working out or following the five steps or whatever. We try to do all these things and we try to find freedom ourselves. We use our own methods and we think that if I just do this thing, then things will work out in my life. But when Jesus Christ died for us and freed us from this curse, then we don't have to work for these things anymore. Because Jesus is working things out in our lives, blessing us, telling us that there is already success that's happening in our lives. Not the way that we define it, but the way that God defines it. God tells us that he's the one that's in control. Jesus was in control the whole time, even when he was hanging on the cross. He was willing to die for us. Even to that point, we can trust that I don't have to be in control. Things will still work out the way that God desires. So I know that Jesus is in control, so that frees me from having to worry about being in control. I don't have to do things right all the time. I don't have to perform for my parents. I don't have to perform for other people. I don't have to do things right, even have to perform for myself. Because Jesus did everything right for me. It frees me. It frees me from trying to live up to all of the world's standards. And I can say, because of what Jesus did for me, I don't have to try to meet all the expectations of this world any longer. I don't have to try to fulfill all these things that I worry about. I just need to trust Jesus, that he's in control, that he's the one defending me. When someone says something wrong to me, I don't have to fight back. I don't have to defend myself. Jesus will defend me. And so when I feel this freedom, what I begin to experience is a fulfilling life. I begin to experience what it is to actually live life the way that God wanted us to live. So we can trust Jesus about the facts, trust Jesus about freedom, and trust Jesus about fulfillment. The last verse of our passage says this: so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Let me summarize it for us. We trust Jesus about fulfillment. Number one, that Jesus has risen from the dead. Because he has risen from the dead, he conquered sin. He conquered the curse, he conquered death. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and he frees us. And so, just like the passage tells us, we are blessed. We're able to receive the blessing of Abraham. That's the covenant that we've been talking about for the past few weeks. We are blessed because Jesus conquered the effects of the curse. Jesus conquered sin and death. We trust Jesus that we're able to receive the Spirit. And because we are blessed, we're able to be a blessing to others. You know what? All of this, it doesn't mean that we're not going to live a difficult life. There may be times that we still feel like we're in times of darkness. And there might be reasons of that. It might be because there are times that I forget that I'm not cursed anymore. And I go back to living a life of cursing or a life of curses. I forget. Or there might be times that even if I'm in a place remembering how Jesus has freed me from the curse, but there are other people. Remember, we live in a world of curse, of the curse. And so there may be other people that are living in the curse and the effects of the curse is coming to me. And I'm sinned against. And people yell at me or people hurt me in some kind of way or things happen around me. And so there may be times that we're still experiencing darkness. But even still, when we turn to Jesus and we trust in Jesus, what we know is that we are blessed. And no matter what kind of attacks come from the outside, it's not us believing in ourselves, but it's us believing in Jesus Christ. And that is a firm foundation. And nothing will break us. What we also can remember is that we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that's in us. And it's wonderful because what the Holy Spirit does is that the Holy Spirit continues to remind us, hey, remember you're not in the curse? Remember you're blessed? Turn back. Trust in Jesus again. The Holy Spirit is there to continue to remind us. And so, just like the passage says, we're not cursed, but rather we are blessed and we receive the promised Holy Spirit. Those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, we have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have our God with us to continue to remind us and encourage us and comfort us and strengthen us. Our God is with us to even give us even more strength, not just so that we would experience the blessing, but also so that we can begin to bless others, so that we're not spreading the curse, but so that we begin to spread the blessing. We are able to actually expand the covenant of blessing. I trust because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm not cursed. I am blessed. And I can be a blessing. Here's one practical thing that you guys can do. Every day that you wake up, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you wipe away your eye boogers. And some of you guys might do face exercises, or some of you guys might wash your face right away. Some of you guys might be brushing your teeth. But as you see yourself in the mirror, tell yourself, I'm not going to trust in what I'm able to do today, but I trust in you, Jesus. I trust that you've done everything for me. And that's why I stand here blessed. I am not cursed. Tell yourself this thing. This is a different way of saying, preach the gospel to yourself. Every morning, preach the gospel to yourself, saying, because of Jesus, I am blessed. I am not cursed. And so I might face a day where I experience the effects of curses, but I want to go out today Jesus, with your help, with the Spirit that's within me, the Holy Spirit that's within me, I want to go out to be a person that's spreading the covenant, expanding the covenant of blessing to others. On this Resurrection Sunday, as we remember how Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, let's remember we can trust in Jesus because of what Jesus has done, not anything that we've done. Because of what Jesus has done, he died and rose again, became a curse for us so that we can be a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that you are God, that you have the power over all the earth. You have the power over life and death. And Lord, because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished, how he lived a perfect life, how he did everything, Lord, today we believe that it's not by what we do that we can experience blessing, but Lord, it's by everything that you have done that we are no longer cursed, but that we are blessed. Lord, we are able to live a life of fulfillment, of a fulfilling life, because you have blessed us. And so thank you, dear Lord, that even if we are still living in this world of a curse, Lord, that today we can know that we are blessed, and that now, even starting now, that we can live a life that is the way that you wanted us to live a life, by being a blessing to others for your glory. Thank you, dear Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the worship team sings this next song, why don't we take a time to go before the Lord and say a prayer, whatever the Lord is placing on your heart. Maybe it might be just those words, Lord Jesus, I trust that you did everything so that I don't have to do anything. I trust that I am not cursed any longer. I trust that I am blessed because of you. And I trust that you're going to work through me to be a blessing to others. You're doing everything, Lord, not me. Perhaps that could be your prayer. Whatever your prayer might be, go before the Lord at this time to lift up your prayers. And when you're ready, you could sing along with the worship team. Let's do that now.
Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Though now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt a heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin that left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, 'cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
At this time, we're going to have our time of giving. And I want to let you know that if you're new here today or if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, please feel no obligation to give at this time. For the rest of us, we want to continue to give thanks to the Lord, and we do so by giving, recognizing that God is the one working in our lives, providing everything that we need. So with that, let me say a short prayer, and we'll start our offering time. God, thank you so much, Lord, for the ways that you have blessed us. You've blessed us in many ways. And so, God, we thank you so much for how you also provide for our needs. And Lord, whether we give a lot or whether we give a little, Lord, it doesn't matter in your eyes. Lord, we know that you are pleased with a heart that gives joyfully and willingly and thankfully. And so, Lord, as we give, may we do so in that way for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.